Today, featuring some of Northern California's top pastors. Pastors Forum not only examines the issues, but also attempts to find practical, Bible-based solutions to these challenges. And now, here's your host for the week, Pastor Terrence Nichols.
Welcome to Pastors Forum and Happy New Year. 2015 is a new year, a new start, a new hope. And today we will be talking about new churches, new church plants in the Bay Area. What a great time to talk about new churches. Yes, a healthy church landscape is one that has new churches being planted and planned. The fastest way to reach sinners, says one, is with a new church plant. Agree or disagree? Well, let's talk about that today. And our guests are new church planters in the Bay Area. In Vallejo, California, Pastor Derry L. Moten is the new pastor of Abundant Life Worship Center. Say hello to everybody, Pastor Moten.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Amen. And then Pastor James Williams is the pastor of Grace Point in American Canyon. Say hello to everyone, Pastor Williams.
Hello, and God bless you.
Amen. And can you also open us in a word of prayer?
Definitely. Father, we thank you today for this gathering of believers. We ask that you be with us as we discuss the different things that are happening in our world, things that are happening in ministry. And we are grateful that you have called us to be servants of the Most High. We're grateful for the opportunity to be servants in the kingdom of God, to be able to serve your people and to serve you. God bless us as we go through this process on the air, that someone that is listening will be blessed, their hearts will be lifted up. And we thank you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And if you stay tuned after the break, you might get a guest surprise. You never know what's going to happen on Pastors Forum. But we are so blessed and thankful to have these great pastors with us today. And let's just talk about your ministries. Pastor Moten, how long has your church been in existence?
We established our church on September 8th, 2013. So we're just a little over a year old, and
yes,
God's really been blessing, giving us a lot of good insights and a lot of opportunity to bless some people here.
September the 8th,
yes,
2013.
Correct. That's correct.
There's something very familiar about that date. Is Grace, did you guys sync this together? Didn't Grace Point start September the 8th?
Yes, it did. September 8th, 2013. Grace Point Faith Church.
Incredible.
Yes.
And so American Canyon and Vallejo.
Exactly.
That's correct.
What's going on in the water up there, you know?
It's a God thing.
It's a God thing.
That's right.
Well, that is definitely something that we want to talk about. Just give us the location of your church and where you're meeting right now, Pastor Williams.
Our address is 3423 Broadway Street. We're in the Canyon Plaza on the left side of Highway 29 there in the city of American Canyon. We're in Suite D3, David 3.
Amen. Amen. A great spot. Amen. Great spot. And Pastor Moten, where are you located?
We're at 1435 Glen Street in the city of Vallejo on the corner of Glen and Nebraska. We actually share a facility with First Presbyterian Church, which is on Amador in Nebraska.
Amen. 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 A very accommodating community of people there.
Absolutely.
They've always just taken people in, helped people get started. Wonderful group of people.
Yes.
And so let's just start the questions with the question, why another church? I mean, we've got all of these churches established in the Bay Area, established in Vallejo and American Canyon. Between American Canyon and Vallejo, it's about 130,000 people if you put them all together, and we have about 130,000 churches. No, just, I mean, why another church? Why do you think God called you?
Well, that was one of the questions that I had. Why another church? I was comfortable where I was as a music pastor there in the city of Vallejo. And I actually received the call several years before and just ran. Because I'm like, why we need another church, God? You know? And so when I realized that, for me, life was not going to be what it needed to be until I said yes.
Yes.
I said, okay, God. My next question was where? And he said, why not where you live?
Yes.
I said, okay, my sons go to school here. I live here. It's a community that needs the Lord just as much as any other community needs the Lord. So I said yes to the call, and I said, okay, God, this is where you need me to be, where you want me to be. This is where I will be.
For someone who may not know American Canyon, describe American Canyon a little bit for us.
American Canyon is a community that is the doorway to Napa County. It is in the Napa County area. And matter of fact, the demographic makeup of American Canyon is predominantly Asian. Secondly, I would say it's a real tight second between Hispanic and Caucasian and African-American and others. And so it's a very diverse community and very kind of middle class community that is really community oriented, you know, and everything. And so it's a different community from where I've come from. And so, but God prepared me for this.
Amen.
You know, for such a time as this. So I'm excited. Excited for what we're doing.
Yeah. Praise God. And Pastor Moten, why a new church? Abundant Amen. Life.
Amen. I'm similar to James in the sense that I had the opportunity to serve for 27 years with Revival Center Ministries, which is also there in Vallejo as well. And after serving there, one of the things that became very evident is that while we were doing some great things there, there's still some untouched parts of the community. And while there are a lot of churches, one of the things that a friend pointed out to me is that with a population of 130,000 people, in order to evangelize the whole city of Vallejo, every church in Vallejo would have to have a minimum of 800 members, which is not the current state of the churches in Vallejo. So there's room because there's a greater harvest. There is a bigger field that still needs to be touched. And we can settle for portions of the city, but we want all of them. We want all of our cities. And we want to see God move in powerful ways. And one of the powerful things about the kingdom is that there were a group of people that were casting out devils in Jesus' name as disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, these people aren't connected to us and they're casting out devils in your name. And Jesus' response was not, well, you know, tell them they need to be with him. No, his response was, he that's not against me, who that's for me cannot soon be against me. And so that calling and that witness of Jesus is to continue to expand, to not only say we have enough here, but to continue to grow the kingdom. And our job always is to make sure that we are taking the kingdom every single place we can go. That means every door, means every place, every business, everything that we can evangelize and touch, we need to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are certainly many different strategies in starting new churches. It has been jokingly said that the best strategy is to plan your plant, but the most strategy is to split. So one way or the other, we've got a new church. And I'm glad to know that this was not simply a split from because of anger or because of ego. Mm-hmm. But what was your strategy and methodology for planting Abundant Life?
Well, very specifically, as I mentioned, my wife and I served at the ministry that we were at. My wife was actually longer than I, but for 27 years. And at a certain point, one of the things that we began to recognize is that we had a group of people outside of our church that were communicating with us and asking things of us. And we saw that there were some specifics that were not necessarily the niche of our ministry that we were part of. So with that understanding and through a lot of prayer and a lot of recognizing that God was giving us a specific voice and a very, very clear, specific thing that he called us to is how we went ahead and stepped out and made that movement.
Amen. 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 That's exciting.
Amen.
Very exciting. Amen. And Pastor Williams, what was your strategy and methodology for starting Grace Point?
Well, I sat down with my pastor and we talked.
And what's his name?
Pastor African Bishop Brian E. Harris.
Yes.
Over at Emmanuel Temple.
We know him. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We sat down probably about a year or so before we actually planted the church. And we kind of talked everything out, kind of massaged it out, and between prayer and fasting, and what is this going to look like? What are we doing? Who's our target? You know, all of these different questions. And then when it came time, he laid hands.
Amen.
And we stepped out. And for me, it was very important.
Amen.
That the relationship that I had with him stayed intact.
Yes.
And that the people, if anybody wanted to come, talk to Pastor first before
yes.
you know, come over here. And so I was determined not to allow anything to come between us in that relationship. And so as we stepped out, it was beautiful, you
Amen.
Know, because I went with his blessing, and God just has been showing himself strong ever since. And I'm excited.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you just touched on something that a lot of senior pastors has hesitancy to anoint, to say, go for it, because the relationship can become strained.
Mm-hmm.
Lessons learned. How can the relationship stay intact between the senior and the planter?
Well, I think it's plays a big part on both ends.
Yes.
In our particular instance, the senior pastor, Pastor Brian Harris, he recognized it when we first got there.
Yes.
And so the duration of the 10 years that we were there, him and his wife were pouring into me and my wife during that time. And when it came time and the season for us to step off into pastoral ministry, he recognized it. I recognized it. I went to him. We communicated, and we began to strategize on what that was going to look like with prayer. And so, like I said, I went through great lengths to make sure that the relationship stayed intact, because part of his vision is he's a pastor to pastors.
Amen.
And so as a result of that, he's been in it 15, 16 years. I need that wealth of resource, that information.
Yes. Amen.
You know, experience on my side. So, yeah. So it takes an effort on the senior pastor's part to recognize when God is shifting, because I don't expect my two sons to stay in my house forever.
They better not, huh?
No, something's wrong.
Amen.
I mean, if we're developing, raising up, the next progression is to send out.
Yes.
And if we're not sending out, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission.
Amen. Amen.
Know? So I'm glad to have been sent.
Yes. Yes. Amen. And this is very interesting. And certainly Revival Center has many churches that started from within that ministry, either by strategy or people relocated and started ministry somewhere else. Was there a conversation between you and Apostle?
Well, actually, for years, I worked over ministers training at Revival Center. And one of the things that has always been something that was always encouraged is to recognize, and actually part of the prophetic word to Revival Center, is that many will be called to be trained for ministry and they'll leave. And that's always been part of the fabric of Revival Center. It's always been that people would come, people would have that development, and as that time came, is to then begin to move forward and move into the things that God's called us to do. So we're like, well, my wife and I are of the same cloth. As we cultivated and we got to a certain point, it's recognized that it's time for us to move forward. So and the good thing is that we have such a strong foundation from where we came from that we're well equipped to step forward. And it's a blessing to have had that experience of moving that way.
Amen. 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 And Pastor Williams, you talked about your target audience, that you prayed on it and thought about your target audience. So who is your target audience for Grace Point?
My target audience is whosoever will, let them come.
Let them come. Amen. That's kind of biblical.
You don't say. No, actually, you know, it has always been in my heart. I think it was planted with my dad. I love missions, and so on the international stage. And my dad was saved at a predominantly white church.
Yes.
And a lot of churches that he evangelized at were other than African-American churches.
Yes.
In addition to. And so that seed of multi-ethnic and multi-culture was planted in me years ago. And so and I'm sure Pastor Derry can tell you the same thing, that I want the ministry that God has called us to shepherd to reflect the kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't want it to reflect a group of people. I want it to reflect what the kingdom is going to look like.
Yes.
You know, and so that means that there are some things that I have to do that I have to shift in order to be able to reach multi-ethnically and multiculturally.
Mm.
And there's a difference between the two.
Yes.
And God showed me that because you can have a multicultural church, but they all be of either African-American, African, Nigerian, but they're all of the same group, but
yes.
just different cultures.
Yes.
They still all look the same.
Yes.
Whereas multi-ethnic speaks to ethnic groups.
Yes.
You know, so I wanted, in what God had birthed in me, was to have a multicultural and a multi-ethnic ministry.
Yes.
So that it reflects what the kingdom of God looked like. So that is who my audience is. So that means that my music has to change.
Yes.
And God prepared me as a music pastor for that years ago.
Yes.
It wasn't just one style of music.
You know? Right.
So we're bringing in different styles. Jesus culture, some Fred Hammond, some Byron Cage.
Okay.
You're talking about some Israel, just different groups, Bethel, different styles.
You just described you.
I did. Out of me flows.
Amen. Yes, yes. And most of you know that Pastor Williams is a renowned musician as well. Amen. Singer. So that's amazing. When we have the multi-ethnic, we must also move over into the multicultural, mm-hmm. because no longer do we have just different races, but we are enhancing and allowing for their cultures to come out. Within the flow. Too often the dominant culture says, be like me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And right. what you're saying, praise God, is that we want it to be like the people who come. And
you know what it's called? It's called kingdom culture.
Kingdom culture. I love that.
That's what it is. It's kingdom culture.
Kingdom culture.
Yeah, because he says, amen. We're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So if the earth is going to reflect the glory of the kingdom, what's happening up there, then it has to be a kingdom culture.
Right. Amen.
Just like the sound we're searching for, it has mm-hmm. to be a kingdom sound.
Yes.
And
yes.
then a kingdom sound reaches kingdom people.
Right. Yes.
Right. Because it's the voice of the message. It's true gospel is what is coming forth and saying what God says, what is yes. calling people to agreement and in fellowship with God. And in addition to the multicultural, the other factor is multigenerational, because there's
yes.
a whole nother dynamic that happens in our churches. And that is, sometimes you have a group of children that goes into children's church and they disappear, and
yes.
they at a certain point they become teenagers. And as teenagers, the adults in the congregation walk through a store and see so-and-so's child, but they haven't seen them in 5 years
right.
because they've been tucked away in children's church. So the other question is, in our ministries, how do we accommodate children? How do we accommodate them into our primary worship services so they are engaged and that they are connected to the rest of the body of Christ? Because many times that we've seen that happen, to a child gets to a certain age, and because they're used to doing church in a certain way, when they get to become an adult and it's time for them to enter the sanctuary,
yes,
that's a foreign world to them. It's like taking them to a new ministry that they have no connection to whatsoever. So
yes.
so that's another factor that we've been trying to work on, is how do we continue to accommodate our 5-year-olds in addition to our 85-year-olds. How do we make sure that all people feel connected? And one of those things that we've really tried to make sure that our teams have understood, no matter whether you're at the door or whether you're leading worship, is that you have to operate in a spirit of love. Because
amen.
Love does not know the boundaries. Love doesn't make those boundaries.
Are you trying to tell me you don't have no mean ushers at your church?
Well, we've been,
excuse me, ushers.
We've been buttering our mean
You've been
ushers.
we need one mean usher.
we got the mean one on a special assignment.
God bless you, ushers.
No,
amen.
We actually have been blessed to
amen.
Really have a group of people that are working on our usher and hospitality ministry that we've made sure they understand that hospitality is a big biblical word.
Amen.
That it's not something we stole from hotels.
Yes.
But it is really that we're expected to be people of hospitality. So,
amen.
So that hospitality has to begin with those gatekeepers, those people who are at the door. And whether or not somebody feels that they're being accepted into the house of God has a lot to do with their experience once they're inside the house.
Amen.
And so you may not have, you know, the I'm not as blessed as this brother had that anointed voice like him. But one of the things that we've tried to focus and make sure, and part of our mission as a church, is to walk in love.
Amen.
Is to make sure that is our primary thing. And you know, Jesus's ministry is basically saying that this is how people are going to know who you are. if you have love one for another.
Amen.
And so that love has to begin in the body of Christ. And when that love is solid in the body of Christ, then it will flow into everybody else. And so to be able to love on people and again, love them, whether they're 5 years old, whether they're 85, and even the old mean usher, if I can get the old mean usher to walk in love, then we got a good thing going on.
Yes. Well, I tell you one thing, you may not have the voice, but you have an anointed spiritual life of prayer.
Amen.
Not saying that Pastor Williams did, but when I first met you, you prayed a prayer at an event, and I'm still living off of that. I mean, it blessed my spirit. So is that something that we're seeing developed in your church?
It is, and the approach we've been taking is to break prayer into very, very simple format, that prayer is talking to God, listening to God, and moving with God. That it needs to be all three. It needs to be that we have the dialogue with God, that we hear back from God, and then whatever God tells us to do, that we're prepared to move in that. And the main key is that love walk originates with the love of God. Because there's human love that we can all do, but human love is so conditional that, you know, if you stepped on my shoe and I'm done with you.
Yes.
But we have to be able, in the body of Christ especially, be able to move into that love first for God and then for people. And what that's sometimes what's missing is that we try to love people without the love of God. And so we don't have that ability to really have that agape flowing out of us and really be able to go past offense, past challenge, past all those other things, and really move with that love. And we have such a great example of our Savior hanging on a cross with the people who put him there looking down and saying, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
They don't understand. And so I'm still willing to go through the pain of the cross. I'm still willing to look past all that shame for this joy that's set before me. And this
Amen.
Joy is the love of God being poured out. So if as a church we can have that as our focus and our mission point, then everything else we do can then be anointed of God in a way that's not just the anointing of shouting, but the anointing of really moving in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. So.
Amen.
Cause I was gonna say, because you know some folk, they don't think they had church. ran the pew.
Well,
yes,
you
know. Yes. Yes.
But God is more than an emotional state.
Yes.
You know, but we thank God.
Amen.
For
this emotional state.
Yes,
absolutely.
I got to
enjoy
have it.
The Lord.
Got to have
it. Amen.
I won't complain or get you there.
Yes.
That's
yes.
your song.
Yes.
I also think that, piggybacking off what you said, one of the things that has been a consistent statement that I've heard from visitors in their testimony when they've had an opportunity to speak and things is that, man, when I walked in, I felt loved. I felt a part of.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, and
yes.
and it, speaking of the love of God, it has to be intentional.
Yes.
You know, and I've that's one of the things that I've really pushed, excuse me, in the church is we have to love everybody.
Yes. Everybody.
Yes.
When they walk through that door, they need to feel like this is their community. This is where they belong. You know, and nobody should walk out of the church not having been touched.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Not by me.
Yes.
Right.
But they need to be touched by the members of the church.
Yes.
And they need to know, create connections.
Yes.
With the visitors. Don't be afraid of them.
Amen.
Love them. Because such were some of you.
Yes.
You know, and if we forget where we've come from, then we forget how to relate with those who may not have become yet.
Yes.
But are seeking to become.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't become, but we are becoming. We're further along than what we used to be. And so in order to be able to have that compassion, the love of God, first you must have the Spirit of God. But once you have the Spirit of God, being able to remember where you've come from and what God has brought you through.
Amen.
Allows you to be able to be sensitive to others and to be patient, which, oh, my Lord, is one thing I've learned. In a pastor's home, it's like, I'm looking at my dad, I'm like, how come you ain't handle that, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to take care of that.
Yes.
You know? And I realize now as a pastor, my dad had patience.
Amen.
And I'm learning and understanding what patience really is as I'm watching people become.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And realizing that, no, you ain't got to say something every single time. Somebody, no,
yes.
no. Just sit back and let God do the work. Because when he does the work,
yes.
it's a completed thing. If it's me doing it,
yes.
As soon as I'm gone, you done.
Amen.
But when God does the work and does the life transformation in people, and it's just beautiful to see that materialize right before your eyes.
Amen.
To see people become as they're in their journey.
Yes.
You know, where they used to be. I had an instance in my church and where we had alternate lifestyle in the church. And I'm talking about within the first 6 to 8 months. And I'm like, Lord, already? You know, but this is the things that we have to contend with, that we have to address. And so they came up to me and it was like, man, I can't do this. I can't handle it. This, you know, this ain't me. I don't know what to do. I'm like, calm down. Love them.
Love them.
Love them.
Yes.
I said, because the Bible says, with loving kindness have I drawn you.
Amen. Drawn you.
And if things are going to become, it has to become through love.
Amen.
There's a time frame for transformation. And God has to chisel at the heart, you know, and the Holy Spirit is consistently working towards everybody. So you can love on people and still be preaching the truth to them. And that's what sometimes gets lost in the process, is that you don't have to compromise the truth in order to love people.
Yes.
But that means you have to go past just words.
Yes.
You have to be able to do some other things. And you mentioned earlier about that the spiritual life and the teaching of prayer. And that's one of those cornerstones, is that we have to make sure that the church is covered in intercession, that we're praying for the Lord of the harvest to move through the harvest, you know, to send forth the laborers and have individuals who have that spirit of love and can challenge themselves when they see something other than the love coming out of them.
Amen.
And you mentioned earlier just about the issue of dealing with challenges in the church of having someone come to you and make that statement. The reality is that when all is said and done, everybody has to stand before God. And so our job is to prepare every person and have them presented to God blameless.
Amen.
That's our job. So if we constantly cast those people out without the love of God and without preparing them, then we're not doing our job.
That's right.
Saints of God, we are talking about new churches in the new year. We are talking about mission and vision and reaching sinners. We're not talking about going and taking from existing churches, but we're talking about really trying to reach those people who are not non-churchgoers, finding them and having them find us and connecting with them in ministry. And we're so excited to have Pastor Derry Moten with us and Pastor James Williams. And after the break, we're going to talk about how do we stay connected with some of the churches, the existing churches, because one of the things that new churches get a bad rap on is, I'm coming in to show you how to do it right. And I'm quite sure that's not your goal. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some lessons learned. We started talking about it a little bit, but what are some things that God just surprised you about himself, about the people, about the church? We're going to talk about all of that on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere, and you might get a surprise guest with us when you come back. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastors Forum. Pastors Forum is a weekly in-depth look at some of the issues facing our community today. Your host, Pastor Terrence Nichols, will be right back with more of Pastors Forum and his guest on Gospel 1190 KDYA.
Welcome to the Good News Calendar, brought to you by Gospel 1190.
And we are so excited to be talking in this new year, 2015, new opportunities, new starts, and new churches all at the same time. We have been talking to Pastor Derry Moten with Abundant Life Worship Center in Vallejo, California, and Pastor James Williams with Grace Point Church in American Canyon. And they are both almost one-year-old churches in American Canyon and in Vallejo. And we've been having a great conversation, and we have just been joined. I told you to stay tuned. You might get a surprise guest. We have just been joined by father and son team, Pastors Garnett from New Covenant Church Fellowship in the great city of Oakland. Say hello to the people, Pastors Garnett.
Hello, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy 2015.
Amen. Amen. And tell us, where is New Covenant Church Fellowship?
New Covenant is currently worshiping at the Rock of Truth Church facility at 459 61st Street in Oakland, California.
And how old is the church?
New Covenant is now 3 years and 5 months.
3 years and 5 months.
Yes, sir.
And we in the Bay Area are used to the Garnetts. We're used to Senior Garnett. You've been on television. You've been on radio. You've been a pastor in the Bay Area for a long time.
Yes, sir.
You've been a Baptist pastor.
Yes, sir.
And now this new church is not necessarily Baptist, but it's a fellowship. Tell us more about that.
New Covenant is a fellowship of believers in covenant communion with Christ, living a life of holiness, trusting God and serving humanity. Now, all of that says in simple form that what we teach there is the life that Christ has given to us through his death and resurrection. We should reflect it in our daily living.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And you have joining you in ministry your son.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And the younger, amen, yes. Garnett, yes. Who I just recently heard you in revival in Vallejo. How is it starting this new church with your dad? Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
It is exciting. It's exciting to see everything to come together, and it's also a learning experience. We've been blessed and fortunate enough to have other pastors that have been around us to share with us, in particular our sister church out of Southern California.
Amen.
And, you know, the camaraderie that we have with them, as well as the experience and knowledge that they share with us, so we can bypass a lot of the potholes that they've had to experience themselves. So it's been exciting. It's a learning experience. And we're definitely looking forward to what God has in store for us.
Amen. So not totally being out there on your own, but having other resources to rely on. Pastor Garnett Sr., you have been in ministry for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Starting is a whole nother yes. animal.
Yes.
Have you been surprised by anything?
Yeah, I have. The major surprise that we've experienced is not so much from within in terms of the congregation itself. Having pastored the length of time that I have overall, I understand the ebbs and the flows of church.
Mm.
It's the outside.
Yes.
People have a way of influencing those who are inside, you know, simply by saying, well, we don't know if y'all going to make it,
yes.
you know, and all the skepticism that is associated with it.
Yes.
So I spend a great deal of time teaching our people that our hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
That we trust him no matter what. Because when everything else fails,
yes.
regardless of some of the support, and, you know, there's support that is given, but then at the same time, everything almost comes with a price.
Yes.
And so we're in a unique position to determine what price we want to take, you know. And it leaves us at a point so that we can be free to hear whatever the Lord has to say and go the leading of the Lord. It leaves us at a point of really, in a sense, being out there by ourselves.
Yes. One of the things that I asked the panel, and I will certainly ask everybody, is when you start a new church, sometimes the new church pastor comes in with the attitude, I'm here to show you what you haven't been doing. And how have you overcome that attitude? Have you aligned yourself with some of the ministerial alliances to say, I'm one of you, I'm not coming trying to take from you?
Yeah. Well, even though our church is not necessarily under, in terms of convention affiliations, Baptist. I'm still a Baptist preacher.
Yes.
Our church is currently under the umbrella of the Wesleyan denomination. I did some thorough investigation there and all of that before we went there. I am a part of the Baptist Ministers Union of Oakland and vicinity. I also have the liberty of fellowshipping with some of the Church of God in Christ and Pentecostal churches in. I'm glad that we have the freedom to do that because my understanding is that the Lord is God over all.
All.
Okay, so there's no denominations. The denominations, as I see them, are simply different avenues that people travel down to get to the main location.
Amen.
That's how we approach it.
Amen. And coming into American Canyon, Pastor Williams, churches have already been established in many cases for a long time. What was your approach going in to say, I'm a part of the church community?
Well, one of the things that we did, I teamed up with a couple of pastors that in American Canyon and Vallejo, they had every Monday they would have the pastors would come together and they would just have a time of, it wasn't about church announcements and all this other stuff, just pastors coming together, sharing experiences, what they're going through and right. everything like that, and having those. And so I took it as an opportunity to, and I started doing that before I actually started the church. So I took that as an opportunity to glean from some people who had 25, 30, 35 years of pastoral experience,
yes.
and said, let me sit at your feet and let me learn what you've been doing and pour into me. Like you said, regardless of denomination, pastoring is not a denomination.
Right.
You're going to go through some of the same stuff across yes. denominational lines, you know.
Right.
And so if we're receptive to hear what's being said, God will speak,
Amen.
You know. And so I just chose that avenue to just sit under these men as they were pouring and relaying and taking the opportunity to ask questions so that I could learn. You know, my dad said God gave you two ears and one mouth so you can hear more twice more than what you speak.
Yes.
And so I think if I keep my mouth shut and listen to what's being said, there's a lot that I can glean, I can learn from and,
right.
and take – instead of trying to come in as the new kid on the blocks, like, I got this. You know,
yeah,
no, you ain't got nothing. And just over this year of pastoring, I realized I need some help, Lord. I need some help, you know. And so
yes, Lord.
Those that think they know it are the ones that's going to be in trouble.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything, so teach me.
Amen. You know? How about you, Pastor Moten? I've seen you around town. Everybody seems to know you. And how are you staying connected?
Part of it is just, as you said, just deliberately connecting with other brothers in the Lord, just making sure that we are a non-denominational church, so we don't necessarily have denominational affiliations. So we have to make sure that we're reaching out to people and connecting with other men of God and women of God, that we're staying as part of that just community of believers. And again, iron sharpens iron, so you
right.
need to be able to have people that you can connect with. And the other thing that we've tried to do, we're part of Transformation Vallejo, so one of the things we've tried to do is with the pastors that are part of Transformation Vallejo is not come in and try to start a bunch of programs from scratch, is come
yes.
alongside of other brothers
yeah.
who are invested in the community and figure out what can we do to help what you're doing, how
right.
can we sow into the Christian Help Center or other places that are already established in the community, and instead of trying to build new wheels, is to enhance the wheels that God has already placed there and then offer to them what it is that we uniquely possess.
Yes.
So what is it that we as part of the body of Christ have to add to it? If we're a finger in the body of Christ, maybe that's that next finger that needs to complete that full grip on whatever God has established in another place. So
Amen.
So being able to fill a role that God has for the whole body of Christ. And as you mentioned, just recognizing that there's Christ and then there's his body.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
and once we get to that point, then we understand we're not the head of anything.
Right.
You know,
Amen.
There's one head. There's only one
head
in this kingdom.
Right.
And so our job is to find out where that head has established us to be and what role has he chartered us mm-hmm. to have within the body of Christ. And that way we can continue to stay connected in fellowship with one another.
New churches have a great opportunity to expand roles, decrease roles, change roles that would normally not be the case in traditional churches. So, Pastor Garnett, young Pastor Garnett, what kind of role does your wife have in the new church?
She is supportive of pretty much a whole lot of everything. When starting a new church or a new church plant, You know, those who are intimately involved in the birthing process and in the furthering of that ministry, you have your hands in a little bit of everything. My wife in particular, she is a musician and, well, a whole lot more than that, actually. She's a minister of music.
Yes.
And so she helps with the music and the worship service, furthering along with the worship service, and you know, the teaching of the worship team and getting the choirs together. And then most especially, she does a lot of praying and
Amen.
Looking out for not just myself but also her pastor. She has a real heart for making sure that her pastor is taken care of. She doesn't want him to burn out. She doesn't want him to, you know, do so much that he's tired. She has a real heart for looking out for the man of God, and that's simply because, you know, there is a lot of work that goes into establishing the church, especially a new church plant, you know.
Yes.
A lot of hours, a lot of study, a lot of resources, a lot of networking and marketing, all that good stuff
Yes.
goes into establishing a new church plant. And so she takes it on personally to do what she can for the ministry by helping out the man of God as well.
Amen. Amen. What about your other wives? What roles do they play?
Well, my wife specifically is kind of a pastors jointly with me. So I have the primary responsibility for teaching and for kind of guidance. She then is our lead administrator and also handles, she's part of our worship team, actually the pastor over our worship team, and also many other parts of the ministry in general. So she, like me, had a calling in life early. And she, for years, has filled multiple roles within ministry. And so she's just been a tremendous blessing to me in just helping me stay focused.
Amen.
You know, one thing is you know, some of us are Josephs. We got lots of dreams. But
yes.
you also have to have someone with that anointing to be solid and to continue to move things in the right direction. And my
Amen.
Wife has been a tremendous blessing in that way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I tell people all the time, be careful who you connect with, because God knows your future better than you do.
Yes.
You know, and so with that being said, I'm grateful for my wife, because God knew what I was going to need 18 years later.
Yes.
As it
yes.
relates to the church planning and everything. And my wife, you know, she's kind of like what everybody was saying, just wherever she needs, she sees something that needs to be done.
Right.
She gets in, does it. She's a woman that's full of ideas and a woman with discernment.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
there it is.
Yes. I have learned over the 18 years that God put her there for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that when she speaks, I listen, because I don't know it all. And I have, God has used her to give me guidance. God has used her to speak to me. And I realize it's God talking.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And so, I've learned that balance of having her involved, but yet taking the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
yes,
make sense?
It makes
you
sense.
You know, and so, so she feels as much a part of the ministry and as vested into the ministry as I do. It's not just all me vested in. We're vested into this, mm-hmm. as well as our children.
Yes.
We're also vested into this,
right.
Into the ministry. My youngest son, who's here today, he sings on the worship team.
Amen.
My oldest boy plays drums.
Amen.
You know, I'm just hoping his voice don't change, because he's my solid soprano.
Right.
You know, and so, if I can't worry about nobody else, I know I can trust him to hold
Amen.
It down.
Amen.
You know, so it's a family affair
yes.
for us. And,
yes.
And I've made sure that we've all had a part in this and that we all feel vested.
Amen.
In the ministry, and not this is daddy's thing, this is mama's thing.
Amen.
This is what we've been called to.
Right? We've been called. Right. And you can only do this on radio. Come here, Master Williams. This is the young Williams. Do you like Grace Point Church? That's a yes or no.
Yes.
You do. You like it. You like singing on the worship team?
Yes. It's a blessing to have my dad have me to sing on the worship team with him and the other singers.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise right. God. That praise
works.
God.
That works.
That works. And, yes. Of course, as a father-son team, it's all in the family here.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. I have the distinct opportunity to be able to have my wife, who's been married with me for... She's been married to me 31 years now.
Amen.
And
amen.
As a result of that, and having pastored three churches, this is my third. Yeah, this is my third church. So my wife serves as the master greeter.
Amen.
Anybody who knows my wife,
oh,
knows that when they're there, when she sees them, there's one distinctive thing that will take place, and that is she will give a double cheek kiss.
Yes.
Okay, and an embrace.
Yes.
That by itself has proven to help the congregation as a whole to literally come together. People in general want to feel a part of.
Yes.
And when they're greeted like that, even strangers coming to the church, visitors coming to the church, they honestly end up feeling like they are a part of
yes.
the ministry itself, because what she does has eventually flowed over into the other people of the congregation.
Yes.
And so there are those that have come that have literally said, "Ooh, there's so much love here." Well, that
yes.
starts with how she approaches everybody else.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I think that it is enriching to find all of you are well established in your ministries, and you started churches. And in particular, I would like to talk to you, Pastor Garnett, about something I recently saw on the web. We were all torn in our hearts at the passing of Pastor Gordon Humphrey,
yes,
who pastored in Olivet in Oakland and also in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And as a new church planter, you were also a part of the whole fellowship,
yes,
and went to Chicago,
yes, sir,
and did a prayer.
Yes.
You preached. I mean, you did a prayer. You preach. we're calling that the prayer sermon.
All right.
But it was church.
Yes,
it was a warm fellowship. Just speak to that a moment about how all of that fellowship is all encompassing in the kingdom.
Well, the blessed part there at the service that I participated in on Monday was that we understood that the Lord had allowed Pastor Humphrey to be around us. Matter of fact, I myself was in contact with Pastor Humphrey for now 30 years. When he first came, when his dad first brought him to California, from that time until his passing, there was interaction. As a matter of fact, whenever we would go to Olivet, it's like we're going home. There are
Amen.
People there. Many times he had me to come preach. So going to the service was somewhat of a somber moment, but yet at the same time, we understand that the Lord does not make mistakes.
Mm.
And it just may be that the Lord had him here for such a time as this.
Amen.
And now that he had completed that moment, it was time to go on, you know, a little further. So it was a rich moment.
Yes.
It was a worship moment. And I praise God for having had the opportunity to go. I really
Amen.
Do. There were people that, you know, helped us to be able to do it because the plane flights were very high. But
yes,
we were able to do it. And,
Amen.
I really thank God for that.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we have pastors here who are sometimes it's very difficult when you start a new church. You want to start a new image. But you can't do that when you sing like you and play, Pastor Williams. So how are you incorporating music and all of that into your new church? And are you doing it?
I am doing it. For a season, I was not doing it. I had someone come in. But I also learned that because I could do it, it was a waste of my resources. And the Lord said, yes. I needed to shift.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
So I said yes, and so I'm back now playing and singing and leading the worship. I have another sister that's with us, Sister Charisse Padilla, that is one of our worship leaders as well. So that's part of that intentional multicultural, multi-ethnic endeavor to get the church to look like the kingdom.
Amen. You know?
So, yeah, I can do it, but there are other people that are qualified to get it done as well. And so my wife, she helps out with the worship leading, but I am preaching at times. I am playing at times. I am, you know, doing a little bit of everything. Like
all
we did
of that.
When we first started off.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, someone asked Aretha Franklin long after she was the queen.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "You don't play anymore." And she said, "I don't have to."
And there will come a day.
There, yes. But she, we loved hearing her play, and we love hearing you play as well.
Amen.
And Pastor Garnett, we love hearing you sing. So when we come to New Covenant, is there going to be some singing going on from Pastor?
Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, Lord, yes. For a quick moment, I had slowed down on singing.
Okay.
Because one of my sons is our worship leader, and he sings wonderfully.
Yes.
And then I have Tim, Pastor Tim, he plays the drums. And
Amen.
Then my oldest son, he also plays the drums. So
yes.
With my daughter-in-law playing the organ, and then we get help from Brother Jamal Churchill. He helps us out because we have the worship on Saturday night. So
yes.
He's there. And, you know, with all of that there, I had slowed down on singing.
Yes.
But then what I understand is that I'm a worshiper.
Yes.
Right.
First and foremost.
Yes.
I am
yes.
a worshiper.
Yes.
So by us shifting to where we are now, and the dynamics of it, it allows me to literally worship with the congregation.
Amen.
As opposed to sitting in the office waiting on, you know, like some great star waiting on that time.
Yes.
Okay, now we're there. No, I literally participate in the worship,
in worship
with the congregation. That has enhanced the worship as a whole.
Amen.
Just by being in there.
Amen.
You hear the amen.
I hear the amen. And how do you two decide on the preaching schedule?
Okay.
How is that decided?
That's pretty much easy. As senior pastor, I do preaching.
Right.
And because Pastor Tim lives where he lives now, he lives in Sacramento, so he comes down as often as he can.
Yes.
And he does have a set time that he preaches. And then there are those moments of where, okay, are you ready to preach today? Yeah, like we did last week. You ready to preach? Yes. Okay, good. You preaching. You know,
yes.
That sort of thing. But what the congregation knows is that they will hear word from the Lord. We're not going to hold back on that. We're going to do everything we can to share the word of God with them.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Pastor Derry, sitting under a great pastor like Pastor Ricky Nutt, you
yes.
probably knew a lot. You experienced a lot. But what have you experienced as a church planter that you never thought that you would experience? And what do you know about God that you never thought you'd find out?
The biggest thing is that you don't, the voice of God flowing through you doesn't necessarily have to go to who you want it to go to.
Amen.
And that's probably the most significant thing is that, you know, filling in for preaching, coming in and preaching on a Sunday was wonderful. But when you're there from week to week and you're seeing not just a message for today, but you're sensing how God is moving and where your responsibility is to take a group of people to is tremendous. And so when you understand that and you start to see transformation happening in people's lives and people testify to you about what God is doing, that's that tremendous thing. And the learning is that in a sense, you always know that your yieldedness to God require something and that it has a benefit, but there's a deeper understanding for me about again, leading people from one place to another, to having that responsibility of a Moses to take people from a place of bondage to a place of freedom, and over a period of 40 years.
Yes.
It's one thing to lead people for a few days. It's another thing to lead people on an extended version that has to go further. And that's the power, is to recognize that God is doing tremendous things, and that the humbling thing is that he will use you through the uniqueness of you, who you are, amen, to reach a group of people.
Amen. So give us your address and your information one more time.
Abundant Life Worship Center in Vallejo, 1435 Glen Street in the city of Vallejo, right near Vallejo High School.
Amen. Pastor Derry Moulton.
Praise God. Amen. 10 a.m. services.
10 a.m. services, amen. Sunday morning. Pastor James Williams, your address, please.
Grace Point Faith Church, 3423 Broadway Street, Suite D as in David, 3. They're in the city of American Canyon, California. And our service times are at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor Tim.
New Covenant Church Fellowship. We're worshiping at 459 61st Street in Oakland, California. Our worship services are on Saturday night. It's called Saturday Night Live. And we begin at 6:30 p.m. Come out and join us.
Amen. I really, truly want to thank each of these church planters for coming and being a part of our discussion here this afternoon. We could go on and on, can't we? It's a new year, and if you are listening and you don't have a church home, visit one of these great churches if they're near your area. If you are looking for a place to just have some prayer time or worship, visit one of these places. Call them. Get in contact with one of these wonderful new churches in the area. And if you have a church home and you haven't been attending in 2014, 2015 is a good time to visit. Amen. Good time to go back home. There's room for you at the cross. And remember, we always end this by saying we have victory in Jesus Christ, because Christ has promised us, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, not to harm you, but to prosper you," yes, "to give you a hope and a future." Thank you for listening to Pastor's Forum.
Thank you for joining us for Pastor's Forum here at Gospel 1190 The Light. Pastor's Forum is an in-depth look at some of the issues and challenges facing our community today, featuring some of Northern California's top pastors. Pastor's Forum not only examines the issues, but also attempts to find practical, Bible-based solutions to these challenges. If you have a comment or topic suggestion, or would like to recommend a pastor to be on Pastor's Forum, please send us an email to kdyapastorsforum@comcast.net. We will see you again next week for Pastor's Forum. Be sure to stay tuned for Clarence Ivey and his Gospel Flashback right here on Gospel 1190 The Light.
Well, it don't
get worried.
Well, it don't
worry, Lord, don't
worry.